Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Adani Wilmar Q3 FY24 results conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Bhuwania from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. It's our pleasure at ICICI to host Q3 FY24 results conference call of Adani Wilmar. From the management today, we have Mr. Angshu Mallick, CEO and Managing Director, Mr. Shrikant Kanhere, CFO, and Mr. Saumin Sheth, Chief Operating Officer. I now hand over the call to Mr. Angshu Mallick for his opening remarks, and then post that we can open for Q&A. Thank you.
Welcome, everyone here. Heartening to start with that after Q1 and Q2 losses, we have turned around, and we are back in normal phase of top line and bottom lines. So that is one good. Retail penetration and retail availability has increased. Now it's around 2.1 million outlets, direct and indirect coverage. Rural coverage has also increased. Market share has improved from 19.5 to 19.8 is another good story. And overall, edible oil PAT has been growing up to 9 months, has been around 16%, which is quite good in terms of past records. And food business in India, domestic consumption has been growing at more than 40%. So overall, few things are very, very good, and more Shrikant will take you through.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining this call. As a ritual, what I'll do is take you through a quick update on this quarter. This quarter, of course, also remained an eventful quarter. I think for the last 1 year, we are looking at a lot of geopolitical events which we have never thought of but are happening. This quarter also was not different from other quarters. The recent Israel-Hamas war and the Red Sea conflict does pose some kind of supply chain threat on the food business, where the container freights have gone up very high. Argentinian election and the populist government there has got a significant impact on the supply chain of soybeans. Similarly, the Russia-Ukraine conflict continues to grow, and therefore we have some kind of risk always on the sunflower supply chain. The edible oil prices, at least now we can say, have been stabilized from as high as $2,000 a ton sometime same time last week last year to now close to $1,000 and below $1,000. So this is something a good story, and lower prices, of course, lead to higher demand, and the companies like us who have got a greater market share certainly gain from this. On a supply chain, demand for edible oil, India is expected to conclude this oil year, which is November to October, with 26, close to 16 million of import and close to 24-25 million of consumption, which is in line with the projection or estimate which industry had made at the start of the oil year. On the food front, the wheat prices continue to go up and down. I mean, they typically follow a cycle of low at the time of harvest, which is sometime in the month of March and April, and they steadily keep going up till the month of November and December, and that's where then it starts falling. So that cycle continues, and therefore for the company like us, our policy of procuring wheat at the time of harvest itself always pay up not only on the price but also on the quality of the wheat flour which we are able to deliver to our customers. On industry growth trends, the recently published Nielsen data suggests that the edible oil consumption continues to grow. Quarter one, it grew by 14% at an industry level. Quarter two, it grew by 12%, and quarter three, 24%. So overall, the industry is consistently growing as far as edible oil is concerned. which is contributed both equally by urban as well as rural markets. And growth in consumption certainly helps company like us who have got a leading position on the market share. Wheat flour also similar story as edible oil. The industry, packed industry, kept growing at 19% for the quarter one, 13% for the quarter two, and 3% for the quarter three. So overall, good story here. And same story is there what when we see look at the Basmati rice. So this is very quick update on the various fundamentals, parameters, and various events that impact the business. Let's now talk straight on the performance for the quarter three. But performance on quarter three, as Mr. Mallick said in his opening remark, is we're happy to see that there is a complete turnaround sequentially from the loss that we reported in the last quarter to the profit. And also, what we have seen is now we are back to our normal run rate of EBITDA as well as PAT, including the volume growth. The gross profits for the quarter at 1630 crore is quite good. When we look at same time last year, it is down by close to 12%, of course, because the oil business has delivered better. However, on the food business, we remained a little bit aggressive in terms of pricing, and therefore food didn't deliver the way it has delivered same time, same quarter last year. EBITDA, as I said, we are more or less now back to our original run rate of close to 530 crore of EBITDA for the quarter. Second best, highest EBITDA for us in last, I think, 10 quarters. On the edible oil, the branded sales for the 9 months continued to grow at 16% year-on-year, very healthy growth for edible oil segment. Capacity utilizations are in the range of 55% to 60%, so we still have good headroom available as far as the capacities are concerned to take on any growth that we can get in next couple of years. The ROCP market share, as Mr. Mallick said in his opening remark, has we have been able to consolidate this market share from 19.5 to 19.8. So for a leader, every consolidation of market share is a good story. It is not that how much of market share you have been able to grow. I think leader, if he is able to control his market share itself, is a very big achievement. And so we have been growing on market share. Similarly, when we look at wheat flour business also, our market share has gone up by 50 basis points from 4.7 to now close to 5.3-5.4%. On a overall company highlights, the volume growth of 5% year-on-year, as well as sequential volume growth of 5%. The revenue grew by sequentially grew by 5%. Year-on-year revenue are down by 17%, but those are more in line with the lower raw material cost, which have been kind of pass through for us. Company recorded second highest standalone EBITDA for 530 crore. However, it is lower by 15% year-on-year due to the strong base quarter. As well as I said earlier, we were a little aggressive on the food business on pricing. In fact, within the food, while the basket grew by close to 20%, but within the food, our wheat flour business grew by more than 45%, and that's very encouraging story for us. We are improving on the brand mix. Our rural demand continues to drive our volumes, and that is something which we feel very happy about, and those are the big highlights for the quarter. As far as the edible oil is concerned, the volumes are slightly flattish, of course, because we saw little bit slump in the edible oil consumption in the month of December. But as we are seeing in January, I think we are back in the kind of volume demand which we saw in October and November. So I hope the quarter four on demand side and the volume side would be better than quarter three. The branded volume, of course, grew more than the overall edible oil segment, and the raw material price are now more or less stable. We did see the high volatility of soya prices in Q3 due to the domestic economic situation in Argentina. On food and FMCG metrics, Our revenue grew by 26% for the 9 months, as against 55% growth that we saw in FY23 and 38% we saw in FY22. But I think this drop in food revenue is more to do with the rice export ban, which India has put in, and therefore we are not able to export the rice, which is more of a non-basmati rice. Basmati rice export is still happening out of India. Capacity utilizations of the food plant continues to be in the range of 50%-55%. The food FMCG revenue as such grew by close to 26%. Branded food is scaling up very fast. As I said, wheat business, we grew close to 45%, and we are slowly getting strong in the southern market, which are more remunerative market for us. And of course, we are scaling our branded food exports in more markets as we go forward. On general trade distribution key metrics, I think good story to report. Now our overall reach is close to 2.1 million outlet, with a direct reach of close to 6.8 lakh outlet. Rural coverage of now close to 27,500 plus towns. So of course we have a target of taking this 27,500 to 30,000 towns by end of this year. And of course, rural saliency remains at 30-31%, which is good story. That shows that with urban, the rural demand is also picking up. On direct reach, of course, if you compare with March 20, there is a 2.3x growth, and in terms of rural town coverage as compared to March 20, there is 8.5x. So of course, the distribution remains a very focus area for us, because we know that distribution will take our food business to the next level. On general trade update, I think we are quite well placed on the distribution and network expansion. We are going deeper and deeper into existing towns, and we're trying to capture the demand. On brand activities, I'll not dwell much upon this. There are a lot of Fortune brand commercials that we released to sell our products. On channel performance, I think branded export is one thing which we have been able to grow more than by 80% in 9 months, which is very good. Horeca is the segment where our focus is now. We have been growing. It slows, though it is very small segment as of today, but it is growing quite well. And we are very optimistic on this e-commerce and modern trade, which is growing very fast for us. To summarize, I think company has brought the focus on Horeca one, and of course, all the three channels are growing very fast as far as the branded sales are concerned. On the new product launch, finally, we have launched a premium Fortune Atta, which is Sharbati Atta, which is in competition products available in the market. And of course, the biryani kit, which was there in the domestic market, now we are pushing it more and more into the export market. And the export now accounts for more than 44% of our biryani kit sales. Going forward, there are a lot of marketing BTL activities and social media engagements have been done, which I will skip to save the time, and I will straight away go to the financial performance. So on financial performance on the segment level, quarter over quarter sequentially, edible oil grew by 11%, whereas year on year growth is flattish. Food and FMCG grew by 17%, and industry essential grew by 17% on year on year. On 9 month, if you look at a 9 month basis, the edible oil grew by 8%, and within this 8%, as I said earlier, the packed oil grew by 16%, and the food grew by 19% and industry essential by 20%. The food continues to contribute close to 17-18% of overall volumes of the company, which is good. We have a plans to take it to close to 25% by end of FY25. On the revenue front, of course, the drop in revenue is in line with the raw material prices, led primarily by edible oil segment. However, the food FMCG revenues went up by 25% and industry essential revenue were flattish, in line with, again, here also in line with the raw material prices correction. When you look at a segment result, and this is what I was been telling, the entire profitability for this quarter is driven by the edible oil turnaround. I think on a year-on-year basis, the segment profit has gone up by 15% from 258 crore of December 22 to 297 crore for December 23. Food FMCG has gone down, as I said earlier also, that on food and FMCG we had been very, very aggressive on in some of the markets as far as the food is concerned, and that's how, and which has been reflecting in our wheat flour business improvement also, which has grown by 45% year on year. So overall, when you look at the financial performance, the volume growth for the 9 months of 5%, and of course the EBITDA and PAT are down because of the pressure from the food and FMCG business. For the quarter, we have been able to deliver the volume, we have been able to deliver the revenue, and now more or less we are there as far as the run rate of EBITDA is concerned and the run rate of the PAT is concerned. So overall, things have been changed for us in this quarter, and as we go forward in quarter four, I think we should continue with the performance which we have been able to post in this quarter three. In fact, we do have a vision of giving better numbers as we get into a quarter four. With this, I end this presentation and will not dwell much upon this. You can certainly go through the presentation which have been uploaded on the site, and then I open the floor now for the question answers, and we would be happy to answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, and congrats on the margins coming back. My first question is on edible oil. The volumes are flat. The other listed company also saw a dip in volumes. So whenever we see sharp inflation followed by sharp deflation, generally the local players come back. So wanted to understand the competitive intensity. I'm not referring to the market share data because that can or cannot capture the real situation on ground. I wanted to understand, are you happy with the flat volumes you're seeing given festival season this time? There was the full benefit, unlike last year when it was split between Q2, Q3. Plus the marriage demand was also very strong. So in that context, flat volumes and local players, if you could discuss in terms of competitive situation.
See, Abdesh, the flat volume is at the company level, but when you look at the packed versus the institutional supply that we make to the frying industry, like the chips and wafers people, or to the snack foods or biscuit manufacturers, that has actually declined. But packed oil has grown at around 5% in Q3. Overall, obviously 16% growth. Now, when you look at this Q3, last year also, the Q3 was very, very big. And marriage season, of course, this year is also there. Last year was also there. Last year's quarter three was big quarter for us. This year also it is like that. So I don't think the smaller players have taken in share because the market prices have come down, which has made the edible oil affordable. So all the brands have done at these levels only. And Nielsen also says the overall market has grown by around 4-5% in Q3. And that is what has happened with us also.
So thanks. My second question is on the Argentina soya issue in terms of the political development there and the container cost, which has gone up sharply. So could you discuss what can be the impact? Because after many quarters, you have seen finally a stable quarter with 3.94% EBITDA margin, which is a good number. But do you see the margins coming at risk because of the Argentina development or the container risk, container cost escalation?
I think Argentina's major issue was the currency, that is the blue currency and the official currency. And the farmers were reluctant to supply at the pegged currency because that was much lower than the blue currency that was going on in the market. And so the supply was less. And last year, Argentina was really under drought, so they had less than 25 million ton crop. This year, the sowing is good. And everything goes well. The crop is expected to be at least 45 million tons. Now, somebody is saying 50, but then 45 to 50 million tons, so double the crop. So the Argentinians are very happy about it. This year, the agriculture is going to be good. The new president is also good in terms of bringing stability and at least making the currency closer in official, and the blue that they call is much closer now. So that is good. We don't see any disruption of supply from Argentina or Brazil. Brazil also has a wonderful crop, 125 million tons, and the harvest has started. The processing will start from February. So February onwards, supply chain will improve. So soybean, we are not at all worried. As far as Red Sea is concerned, this issue is more now on containers that goes to Europe, US, even Jeddah. Some of the places where it passes through, the container freight has gone up. Now, one, it has gone up. Second, availability has also shrunk because a lot of cargo has got stuck or something. So our problem is that rice exports that we have done to these countries, so there is some slowness. It should improve if the situation improves, but there is some amount of increase in freight. Now, that freight can be $30-$40 a ton. Can increase on a cargo of $1,100.
So thanks. Last question on rice. Now, could you discuss, are you happy till now with the acquisition, the kind of development you have seen in terms of either market presence or market share? Second is, the top two players are extremely large versus you in India branded rice. They have a very strong supply chain and strong relationship with the mandis, with a lot of experience of many decades. So in that context, where are you, given you also have done an acquisition, so you must have gained some of the know-how in terms of this. So if you could discuss the gap and how do you want to close that gap in terms of sourcing?
Last year, say this time, we were operating from four or five units in the country. Today, I am operating out of 13 units in the country, out of which two are our own and 11 are I have taken the full factory and managing it ourselves through our staff and running it as if it is ours. Now, we have increased our footprint surely. Now, we are available at processing paddy to rice in Bihar, UP, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, Bengal, Punjab, Haryana. So we are now there. Maharashtra, I'm starting very soon near Nagpur. I'm also working at Andhra Pradesh. So we are starting there. So I think what we have decided is that we will go to every state wherever rice is available, and we will convert paddy to rice and bring that business closer to the market. That is one. Two, we have started taking a lot of agriculture graduates. Just as we take the graduate engineers and put them as GET, similarly, we have taken graduate agriculture trainees and putting them in the market to work with FPOs, to work with the farmers, and bring a closer connect between the farmer, FPO, and AWL factories. Now, that we are doing to ensure we get into the roots. We are working continuously on it. Yes, I would agree with you, Abneesh, that we don't have so much of expertise in contract farming or rice growing with these farmers. But surely we have got paddy this time, basmati paddy, from 125 market yards. out of 250 what they call. So 125 means the potential ones we have gone and we have put our people and we are sourcing from them. And I think we are a serious buyer in paddy this year. People have seen our purchase.
Sure, that's helpful. One last follow-up on rice only. So we see top two players advertise heavily. One has been a brand sponsor of MasterChef India and the other has also been doing extremely strong advertising. So mass media advertising, I don't see much of Kohinoor or your own rice. So is that depending upon the development of the core expertise which is still yet to be built? Is that depending upon that?
I think our Fortune and Kohinoor spends this year has been
for rice only.
Yes, only rice. I am saying possibly is higher than number two brand. That is what I know because that is what statistics I have seen. Now, you may not have seen it much is another issue because possibly we are not available in all the business channels. But still. We were there. Kohinoor has the new ad that we have made has turned out to be one of the best ads as per the research by some agency that it's the top five recalled ad which highlights on the aroma and absolutely different type of style and all that. Now, surely advertisement of 1 year, 2 year doesn't make much. You look at there's competition doing it for 10 years, 15 years. In oil, you will find that we are visible, much more visible than anybody. That is because over the years we have put it. But surely going forward, you will see us in many of the places. And we have also taken such type of programs wherever we feel that the brand and the program has connect.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot. Helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Kaustav Bubna from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So a competitor of yours recently on the con call said that they made a statement that the edible oil prices have bottomed down and the worst is over for this industry right now and things will only look up from here. So what's your view on this and how do you see pricing and demand shaping up, margins also for players like you shaping up over the next 2-3 years in the space, edible oil space?
The industry, edible oil industry, what we always fear is sharp decline or sharp increase. Sharp increase obviously good because most of us are long physically, but when it comes to sharp decline, we are all afraid. Because you don't get much time to cover yourself. But the edible oil prices have been steady and the hedge is now in tandem. It is not reverse. Earlier what happened, CBOT was going up, India was coming down. So you had lost in both the places. Now the hedges are in tandem and it's little much more safer business, I would say. Going forward, if this oil prices remains like this or even it reduces and gradually it reduces the way that is happening now, we see better because brands always do well when commodity prices are lower. That is one. Two, consumption is always high of staples when the prices are low. Both the things will surely help AWL because the brand fortune will gain when the prices are lower.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Akshay Krishnan from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So I just wanted to understand on the branded segment, what are the key drivers that we are monitoring in? And do we expect any further acceleration down the line? And what is that we can actually look in for that?
See, in brands, what we normally monitor, one, supply chain, because the demands shoots up many times because these are staples. So we have to ensure that we have excellent supply chain. So possibly we have the largest number of manufacturing points, and we have 93 depots across the country, far, far fringe areas, including Srinagar and Leh and all that. So stocks are available. 10,000 distributors handling our products, many of them, all the products, and many of them are exclusive. So supply chain is one. Two, is the retail universe increasing? Is our direct coverage increasing? So we have seen that our direct coverage is now around 6,60,000, which we started the year at around 4,75,000 or 5,00,000. And we hope to go up to 1 million in another year or so. Indirect coverage is also increasing, which Nielsen is saying is growing and has grown at 2.14 million, which in itself is a very good figure. Third is absolute market share, which has grown from 19.5 to 19.8, so that we are looking at. We look at what is the volume that a retailer is handling, what we call as PDO. So all these things matters. Apart from that, let me tell you, our voice gives us hints that competition is weak in this area, competitor supply chain is tight, and we should gear up fast. So we don't take much time to react, and all of us get into the act and just blast with our volumes. That is our strength areas. So these are the things that we do.
Great, sir. So one more question, just a follow-up. I just want to understand the performance trends that have been seen through the quarter. So just want to, can you just help us in quantifying the October versus November versus December trends that we are seeing in?
In terms of volumes or sales or something?
On the overall levels, both the sales and the volumes. So which...
I think we did the highest in October. Pactoid did highest in October. Basmati rice, Kohinoor did highest 6,500 ton in December. So OND was very good because Basmati rice season starts in October, and October for December was very good for us for domestic Basmati rice business. This trend continues also Jan, Feb, March. Our oleochemical business has done very well. Let me tell you, we are almost 25% of the country's glycerin suppliers. We almost have 33% market share of stearic acid in the country, 11% soap noodles. So that business also, except for soap noodle, other two products were doing very well in winding. Castor oil was good. Castor oil exports were very good. So that has been helpful for us. Overall, October, November and December, October volume was very, very good. November was a little medium, and then December was low. So that is how it is. But volume-wise, it was good quarter.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. We have a follow-up question from the line of Kosto Bubna from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so give me some of my lack of knowledge, but, you know, this question more pertains to understanding how do we track the prices of, you know, for, let's say, mustard oil and soybean oil, for those type of vegetable oils, how do we track the raw material prices? Do we just link it to crude oil, or is there some other way you recommend us to track those prices?
Mustard oil, I will tell you, is simple. It is the prices are available in exchanges, solvent extraction associations regularly issue these brokers are there which supply the rates on a daily basis. But for us, we buy mustard seed. We are possibly one of the largest mustard seed buyers and processors. So we keep a track of mustard seed available in Haryana, Rajasthan, UP, and we are buying oil in 9 places. So overall, we get a feel of the country supply chain, and that is how we ensure one raw material, and we ensure the raw material prices are least cost basis. So whichever is cheaper, we buy from that area, and seed also we go by that. But for you, you can get into Solvent Extraction Association, and you will get their report monthly, daily. Daily, I don't think they give, but they are giving weekly rates.
Okay. Okay, great. And one more question was, for the end edible oil products, how much is the, what is the percentage of imports that come into the country?
See, today we consume roughly around 23 million ton, and domestic is around 8.5-9 million ton.
16 million is in
And 16 is imported. So, two-third, one-third.
So out of these imports, is there any import duty?
Yes. 5.5% import on crude oil.
Is the company lobbying for a higher import duty in the future, or are you guys happy with this equation right now?
No. I will always say, why, if the duty is less, prices of commodity is less, volatility will be good and manageable, and consumers will find the prices attractive and will consume more. End of the day, lower prices helps. But then if you look at the farmer, surely they are worried, because in soybean, if you have seen recently, in MP, the rates are lower than the MSP, so there is some amount of discussion going on. So, from consumer point of view, lower duty is good.
Correct. Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, on the behalf of the management of AWL, I would like to thank the participants for taking out time and joining our call and listening to us. Do keep tracking our numbers, do keep tracking us on quarterly basis, and do connect with us offline also for any explanation or queries which you have around the business model. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for attending, and hope to continue with this trend Q4 onwards. Lot of activities are going on in AWL, and I hope we continue with our good performance.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.